We are going to settle in a few moments into the first chapter of the Gospel of John, a passage that we have used not all that long ago, but is rich with meaning and depth. I think will apply to us this morning. But I'm going to read a few other pieces of Scripture to kind of set that up. But if you want to turn to, again, John chapter 1, that's where we will arrive in a moment. Almighty God, as we open your word this morning, I ask that you would speak to us here in this place. As we prepare ourselves to celebrate this important, doesn't even seem to be strong enough word, but this important event, the birth of your Son, marking the beginning of his life, the focal point of all history, the balancing point of all human life. Those 3+ decades that he spent here, Lord, may we sense something above the lights and the lines at the store, the parties, the tinsel, the gifts, Lord, all wonderful things. May we celebrate using all those things. But as we use those things, may we always have our hearts turned toward you. May we use this season, Father, please, may we use this season when your name is on the lips of so many, even that don't mean to say it, but when they say Christmas, they are saying Christ. May we sense the presence of your Holy Spirit, the moving of your Holy Spirit as you push us and encourage us and move us to places, openings, to talk about Jesus. May we listen, may we respond, may we grab hold of these opportunities. May we be examples, especially during this season. Especially during the shopping and when people are hurried and anger can flare up. May we be examples of your love. If we don't evangelize with our lips, may we evangelize with our actions. By being kind and courteous, that people would know who we are by our love. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Move on us. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, I have a few Old Testament passages to read this morning, and then we'll end up in John 1, starting with Genesis 1:1, where it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless, and darkness was upon the face of the waters." And then in Isaiah, many, many, many years later, after creation, when God had called a people apart for himself in order that the world might see the light of God, as his chosen people were called to send out, and they did not fulfill what they were called to do, and instead they found themselves constantly falling into sinful ways, constantly falling into darkness. And we hear Isaiah say, "Here am I and the children the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel from the Lord Almighty who dwells on Mount Zion. But when men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law, to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged, and looking upward will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom. They will be thrust into utter darkness." And then the book of Malachi, the last of the Old Testament books, the last of the prophets speaking. And the prophet says, "You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask? By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord. And he is pleased with them? Or where is the God of justice? In these, in other words, that Malachi had, we close out the Old Testament in our hands. God also closed out the day of the prophets. There were 400 years to follow Malachi. 400 years of silence from God. Some turned because of Malachi's words. Some turned. Some remained faithful. Though over time they became faithful to the law, but they forgot about the love. Faithful to the law, but they forgot about the light. Faithful to the law, but still they slipped into darkness. 400 years of silence. 400 years, one might say, of Advent, waiting for the arrival of the Messiah. Darkness. But God always has a response to darkness. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and it was good. And then in Isaiah, even though they were still in this place, he said, "There is a time coming. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of death. A light has dawned, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a gift is given." And in Malachi, "See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant, whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty." Over the next couple of weeks, as we celebrate this Advent, this preparation for Christmas, we are going to, 2 weeks from today, talk about our personal Advent, our personal, individual need for the coming of Christ. Next week, we will talk about the world's Advent, the second Advent that we are all living in as we wait for the return of Christ. And now, we are talking about the world as it was then. God's response to the darkness is always light. Always light. And as it says in John 1, going back, reflecting Genesis 1, we hear, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Any doubt who Jesus is? Jesus on earth, the Son of God. Jesus was there from the beginning with God. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So Jesus was there, active in creation. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. It goes on to talk about John the Baptist, who we recently have talked about, coming and preparing the way for Jesus, who was the light and the life coming into the world. Important to know, important to connect these things, that in the beginning, when God created the heaven and the earth, he was there. Jesus was there alongside him. When light was created, Jesus was there. And why was light created? Light was created so that we could see. So that we could see the world around us. It was a great gift from God to be able to see. It became the standard for how we know, right? Seeing is what? Seeing is believing. We No, because of our sight. God gave us light so that we could see. Part of His creation, a wonderful and great gift. And Christ there. But then, we chose, through our forefather and mother, Adam and Eve, we chose to move to the darkness. They chose to live in the darkness. And then over time, God prepared a people to go and shine His light into the world. He pulled Abraham's children aside that they might evangelize to the world. And that is an important notion. That is a scriptural notion. They were God's chosen people, but they were never to be pulled apart and separate and keep to themselves. They were meant to bring the other world, the other people of the world, into a saving knowledge of God. And they didn't do that very well. Instead, when they mixed with others, they tended to take on what the others had. They tended to walk from the light and seize the darkness, even though the light was given to them. Over and over again, this was the story throughout the Old Testament. And then we get to John. And we hear of this Savior that was there, that witnessed all of this, who lived waiting for the moment when He would come and restrict Himself in human form, with a dreadful death ahead of Him, so that the light might come into the world. So that the light might come into the world. And the light did come into the world. And as dark as the world may seem now, it is vital for us to remember that the light came into the world. Jesus came and brought the light into the world. And that light is the life. That life is the light. This is who we are. Jesus said at one point, "I am the light of the world." But Jesus also said, "You are the light of the world." So at His departure, it became our job, encouraged, moved, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to shine His light into the world. Now John 3 goes on to say that men love the darkness. And we see that history, that we run to the dark. The church, we have an obligation to be the light of God in the world. And I would say during this time of the year, there are many, many opportunities. More, we are out in public more. There are more people out and about. We have a wonderful opportunity, many wonderful opportunities to share the light. The light that is real, the light that exists, the light that is available inside you. You don't have to go get something else. You don't have to go get trained somewhere. You have available to you what you need to share with others. And see, I believe the enemy is very active during the Christmas season as well. Because we do see all the junk that goes on with Christmas, right? We do see all the anxiousness, the anxiety to get this done, to get that done, the pushing and shoving in lines, the horrible advertising. Can I vent for a moment? There's an ad on television that angers me to no end, and I know you might say that I'm overly sensitive. Whatever. It's a T-Mobile cell phone ad. And it says, "Joy to the galaxy because of this new phone." Now that, I'm seriously upset. I'm not making this up. This angers me to no end. Jesus Christ, there is nothing better than Jesus Christ. He is the joy to the world. And they're trying to say there's something that extends beyond that. A stupid cell phone plan. But the idea here is that there can be something else. Now, don't take this too lightly. The idea is that there can be something else that is more important, that is better than Jesus. That's the idea that's planted there. That might not have been in the minds of the ad writers, but don't lose where their inspiration came from. There is nothing, nothing better or more powerful than the love of Jesus Christ. And so during this time of the year, there are plenty of things that will try to draw your attention away. There's plenty of things that will try to get you to look. I mean, we get fed up or fired up by the stuff we want. Yeah, I think my daughter told me, she read somewhere that, you know, that America is the only place where we spend a day thanking God for all we have, and then we spend the next day fighting a line for the stuff we don't have yet. You know, there's I'm not knocking you if you go shopping on a Friday after Thanksgiving. That's okay. I'm not going, but if that's what you do, that's fine with me. But we do get caught up. We get wrapped up in the stuff we don't have, and the stuff we need, and the stuff we got to get, and how we've got to show these people, and who's on the list, and those things. Don't get me wrong. There's a great deal of love that can be shown through the giving of gifts at Christmas. I'm not knocking that. There's a great deal of love that can be shown through that. Let's just make sure that that's what we're doing. Let's just make sure that that's what we're doing. And take the opportunities. You go into Black Friday. What's the connotation of that? It's darkness. These places can be, you've seen it. You've seen there were two people shot over a parking space on that Friday. Not here, but there were two people shot in a Walmart parking lot over a parking space. For what? What does Walmart have that's worth losing your life over? What does Walmart have that's worth taking a life over? You don't think the world's a dark place? Man. But there's good news. The light is in the world and has not left. Most of the world is running around like this, with their eyes covered. It's not because the light's gone. It's because we are choosing to find the corners of darkness. And we can very easily be convinced that the darkness is overcoming, right? Oh my gosh, the fiscal cliff. Oh my goodness, this person or that person is in this position or that position. We can get overwhelmed. We can be convinced that the darkness is overwhelming. Nothing, nothing can overcome the darkness. As a matter of fact, the word that is translated in the NIV that says the darkness has not understood it can also be translated the darkness cannot overcome it. The Greek word means the same thing. We can allow it in, we can turn our heads away from it, we can cover our eyes, but the light has not left the world. The victory is guaranteed. Jesus is saying, come on, ride with me. Look at the opportunities around you. Shine the light. We teach it to the little ones. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? Let it shine. Indeed, let it shine. And this light, talking about translations, this light, the word that's used for light there was never used for a lamppost, or never used for a candle that was lit or a torch that was lit that can be snuffed out. It is a light that moves and is everlasting. It is a light that moves about and is everlasting. Christ is everlasting, and He moves about in us. He moves about through us. And as the light that was given in the beginning in Genesis was a great gift for us to see, this light is given to us as a matter of faith so that we can see better. And you've heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again. The Bible, nowhere in the Bible does it say anything about blind faith. The term does not exist. It says we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, the world has glommed on to seeing is believing, that seeing is the standard for what we can know. That was true until the light of Christ came into the world. Then that gift of faith does not give us something less. We're not walking around staggering, hoping, you know, God's going to, maybe I can find his hand and walk with him. No, faith gives us a better sight. Faith gives us a better sight, a better view, a better understanding of the way the world really is. You know, we've learned over years, right, that there's things we can't see with our eyes, but we know are true. Microscopes, telescopes, prisms, all these kind of things show us things that exist in the world that we can't see with our regular eyes. So we know that seeing is not all there is. If we were all blind and could not see, we would say we walk by what? There you go. We would say we walk by hearing or maybe touching. And then if suddenly we could see, we would say, I don't walk by sound, I walk by sight. That would be better. That would be an improvement. Well, this is what this verse in Corinthians tells us. There is something better than this. I walk by faith and not by sight. I walk by faith that tells me I know that there is a God in heaven. I know that there is a Jesus Christ who came on Christmas, was born, he lived, and he died and lived again so that I may live beyond this world. That's what this light is about. It's not about this. It's about the eyes of faith. It's about the eyes that give us kingdom vision, about the eyes that give us an eternal vision. Grab hold of that, church. Grab hold of that. See the light. Seize the light. And as you walk through this world, share the light. Amen.